Ministry of Education, Culture, Sport, and Youth. Secondary Education. Class C Lyceum. First Semester Examinations, January 2022. Part 1. Listening. Task 1. You will hear three short recordings. Answer each question on the line provided. Write no more than three words or a number for each answer. You will hear each recording twice. Now you have 1 minute to look at the questions. Recording 1.
Your total comes to $36.78.
Put it on my Visa.
There's a problem with your card.
What's wrong with it?
I believe it was declined.
You're kidding me.
Do you have another card I could try?
I only have one card.
Do you have cash, perhaps?
I don't have any cash on me.
You're not going to be able to take these items today.
I'll be back tomorrow.
Now you will hear the recording again.
Your total comes to $36.78.
Put it on my Visa.
There's a problem with your card.
What's wrong with it?
I believe it was declined.
You're kidding me.
Do you have another card I could try?
I only have one card.
Do you have cash, perhaps?
I don't have any cash on me.
You're not going to be able to take these items today.
I'll be back tomorrow.
Recording 2.
Before I begin, I just want to thank everyone for attending, especially those of you who've had a difficult journey owing to the floods that have affected both road and rail links from neighbouring areas. I'd also like to express my sympathy to the farmers around here whose crops have been destroyed by the extreme weather. I hope that this evening's subject, rural life in this area in the 19th century, might be of particular interest, as we shall be looking at how communities coped with natural disasters such as these in earlier times.
Now you will hear the recording again.
Before I begin, I just want to thank everyone for attending, especially those of you who've had a difficult journey owing to the floods that have affected both road and rail links from neighbouring areas. I'd also like to express my sympathy to the farmers around here whose crops have been destroyed by the extreme weather. I hope that this evening's subject, rural life in this area in the 19th century, might be of particular interest, as we shall be looking at how communities coped with natural disasters such as these in earlier times.
Recording 3.
It's the big running race on Saturday, and I know loads of local people are coming along to watch. And cheer. I'm feeling really nervous about it, which is a bit unexpected. But then a lot depends on the result this time. If I win, I can go on to compete in the national championships. That's putting a lot of pressure on me. I just know the other competitors will have spent months preparing for it, and I can't really claim that, if I'm honest. So I suppose if I don't get the result I'm hoping for, which is likely, I've only got myself to blame.
Now you will hear the recording again.
It's the big running race on Saturday, and I know loads of local people are coming along to watch and cheer. I'm feeling really nervous about it, which is a bit unexpected. But then a lot depends on the result this time. If I win, I can go on to compete in the national championships. That's putting a lot of pressure on me. I just know the other competitors will have spent months preparing for it, and I can't really claim that, if I'm honest. So I suppose if I don't get the result I'm hoping for, which is likely, I've only got myself to blame.
That is the end of task one. In a moment you will hear task two. Task 2. You will hear 5 people talking about classical music. For each of speakers 1 to 5, choose from the list, A to F, which opinion each speaker expresses. Write the letter in the box. Use each letter only once. There is one extra letter which you do not need to use. You will hear each recording twice. Now you have 1 minute to look at the questions. Speaker 1.
Classical music's often seen as old-fashioned, and though there's people everywhere who go to concerts, and some classical musicians are big-name stars, it doesn't really excite young people that much. They prefer pop music or more modern stuff. But the truth is, it's hard to interpret complex music, even with the best teacher in the world, unless you start training early on in life. Luckily for me, I came to this conclusion myself when I was in my early teens, and when I said I wanted to become a classical guitarist, my parents rather reluctantly went along with the idea and bought me some lessons. Since then, I've played almost every day.
Speaker 2.
I bought my first classical recording aged 14. It was a violin concerto by a Russian composer. Although my school had a strong arts focus, I had no particular interest in classical music till one day when I heard a big rock star going on about the most exciting piece of music ever written. Being a fan of his music, I felt I had to hear it. By the third listening, I was convinced he was right. What's more, I found I really had an urge to play the violin myself and found myself a teacher. Despite my dad's complaints about the noise I produced, I practiced every day at home. I've never looked back.
Speaker 3.
At my school, I was made to learn the recorder, and I had to practice every day. The sound I produced was so dreadful that whatever piece of music I was supposed to be playing was hard to recognise, despite all the efforts made by our music teacher, who'd actually been quite a famous musician himself when younger. It took a while, but I recovered from that and got to know the work of some of the top composers, thanks to my uncle. That got me excited enough to beg to have piano lessons when I was about 12. After that, everything just took off. Now, here I am, getting quite well known as a concert pianist.
Speaker 4.
At school, our music teacher tried to get us into classical music without much success. He just seemed to go for the most unexciting pieces. It was me who noticed classical music turning up in movies, cartoons and stuff. Like, I remember one day hearing a really famous classical piece being played on a commercial trying to attract young kids to some fast food place. You'd think things like that would be enough to put anyone off classical music. But they had the opposite effect on me, encouraging me to want to learn to play and seek out a good teacher, which is what I did, much to my mum's amazement, I remember.
Speaker 5.
Although my dad had taught me to play the flute at an early age, I didn't get interested in learning to play classical music then. I wasn't willing to try and understand it and didn't realise you have to do that in order to enjoy it. As a kid, I wanted something that made me jump and got me going, made me feel happy or enthusiastic, so I resisted the efforts of my teacher to introduce me to classical music. She got there in the end, though, by sheer persistence, convincing me that there's great excitement to be found in the joy of playing something difficult and doing it well.
Now you will hear the five speakers again. Speaker 1.
Classical music's often seen as old-fashioned, and though there's people everywhere who go to concerts, and some classical musicians are big-name stars, it doesn't really excite young people that much. They prefer pop music or more modern stuff. But the truth is, it's hard to interpret complex music, even with the best teacher in the world, unless you start training early on in life. Luckily for me, I came to this conclusion myself when I was in my early teens, and when I said I wanted to become a classical guitarist, my parents rather reluctantly went along with the idea and bought me some lessons. Since then, I've played almost every day.
Speaker 2.
I bought my first classical recording aged 14. It was a violin concerto by a Russian composer. Although my school had a strong arts focus, I had no particular interest in classical music till one day when I heard a big rock star going on about the most exciting piece of music ever written. Being a fan of his music, I felt I had to hear it. By the third listening, I was convinced he was right. What's more, I found I really had an urge to play the violin myself and found myself a teacher. Despite my dad's complaints about the noise I produced, I practiced every day at home. I've never looked back.
Speaker 3.
At my school, I was made to learn the recorder, and I had to practice every day. The sound I produced was so dreadful that whatever piece of music I was supposed to be playing was hard to recognise, despite all the efforts made by our music teacher, who'd actually been quite a famous musician himself when younger. It took a while, but I recovered from that and got to know the work of some of the top composers, thanks to my uncle. That got me excited enough to beg to have piano lessons when I was about 12. After that, everything just took off. Now, here I am getting quite well known as a concert pianist.
Speaker 4.
At school, our music teacher tried to get us into classical music without much success. He just seemed to go for the most unexciting pieces. It was me who noticed classical music turning up in movies, cartoons and stuff. Like, I remember one day hearing a really famous classical piece being played on a commercial trying to attract young kids to some fast food place. You'd think things like that would be enough to put anyone off classical music. But they had the opposite effect on me, encouraging me to want to learn to play and seek out a good teacher, which is what I did, much to my mum's amazement, I remember.
Speaker 5.
Although my dad had taught me to play the flute at an early age, I didn't get interested in learning to play classical music then. I wasn't willing to try and understand it and didn't realise you have to do that in order to enjoy it. As a kid, I wanted something that made me jump and got me going, made me feel happy or enthusiastic, so I resisted the efforts of my teacher to introduce me to classical music. She got there in the end, though, by sheer persistence, convincing me that there's great excitement to be found in the joy of playing something difficult and doing it well.
That is the end of task 2. In a moment you will hear task 3. Task 3. Listen to the following interview with a novelist and then fill in the details below. Write one or two words or a number in each gap. You will hear the recording twice. Now you have 1 minute to look at the questions for task 3.
My guest today is the novelist Greg Field. Greg, you started writing quite young. Were you into books and reading as a kid?
Well, funnily enough, my parents were always on at me to read. They couldn't understand why I didn't like it much.
And what about at school?
Well, in fact, school added another dimension. There was one particular teacher we had, who at the end of every day would get out a book, maybe poems or a story, and read them to us. It was like music, like a film. These great pictures his voice summoned up in my mind. And that's when I knew I had to be a writer, so I could make that happen too.
So how did it feel when you eventually achieved that?
Well, I was so scared when I was writing my first novel. Scared that nobody would read it, that I'd never finish it, or I'd lose it, or that the publisher would change her mind, etc., etc. I can't tell you what a relief it was to see it on the shelves in a bookshop. Then the next one was, by comparison, a bit of a disappointment. The reviews were pretty bad and it never sold as well. But these days I just have this nice, calm feeling about the whole business.
Tell us about where and how you write.
I write in a small room at the top of my house. There's no sound, no music, no traffic, and that's what I need to get a sense that my words are filling something. I've tried writing in other rooms in the house, but I find it harder to settle down to work. I don't use a computer, just a pen, any kind of pen. I don't have a special one anymore. Losing it was too traumatic. And I do look out of the window a lot. And I drink cup after cup of tea. And yes, it's a special cup.
So, tell us about your next novel.
Next is a book for teenagers. At least, I hope they'll like it. I never tried writing one before. It's set about 100 years ago. And it's about school-aged children in the country who are sent off from their farms to work in a factory at a young age, and the hard times they have. Like all my historical novels, it has a serious message, but there are lighter moments too.
Any advice for budding young writers out there, Greg?
Well, if it's your first book, does that mean first person? People often write their first book about themselves and from the I perspective. Of course, you're likely to write best about what you know, to be most convincing. But bear in mind that if you do that, there might be a lot of stuff you can't include. And your readers may want to know about other things that you don't see.
Anything to avoid?
Well, it's very dull if you set everything in the same place, of course, or always have them wearing the same clothes. Their choice of clothes can tell you about a character's personality. And an important aspect of writing fiction is the use of symbols, for example, the weather representing how people are feeling. But resist the urge to spell everything out. The sky was grey, fine. Not the sky was grey and John felt as grey inside as the sky was, etc.
That sounds like good advice. Thanks, Greg.
Now you will hear the recording again.
My guest today is the novelist Greg Field. Greg, you started writing quite young. Were you into books and reading as a kid?
Well, funnily enough, my parents were always on at me to read. They couldn't understand why I didn't like it much.
And what about at school?
Well, in fact, school added another dimension. There was one particular teacher we had, who at the end of every day would get out a book, maybe poems or a story, and read them to us. It was like music, like a film. These great pictures his voice summoned up in my mind. And that's when I knew I had to be a writer, so I could make that happen too.
So how did it feel when you eventually achieved that?
Well, I was so scared when I was writing my first novel. Scared that nobody would read it, that I'd never finish it, or I'd lose it, or that the publisher would change her mind, etc., etc. I can't tell you what a relief it was to see it on the shelves in a bookshop. Then the next one was, by comparison, a bit of a disappointment. The reviews were pretty bad and it never sold as well. But these days I just have this nice, calm feeling about the whole business.
Tell us about where and how you write.
I write in a small room at the top of my house. There's no sound, no music, no traffic, and that's what I need to get a sense that my words are filling something. I've tried writing in other rooms in the house, but I find it harder to settle down to work. I don't use a computer, just a pen, any kind of pen. I don't have a special one anymore. Losing it was too traumatic. And I do look out of the window a lot, and I drink cup after cup of tea. And yes, it's a special cup.
So, tell us about your next novel.
Next is a book for teenagers. At least, I hope they'll like it. I've never tried writing one before. It's set about 100 years ago, and it's about school-age children in the country who are sent off from their farms to work in a factory at a young age, and the hard times they have. Like all my historical novels, it has a serious message, but there are lighter moments too.
Any advice for budding young writers out there, Greg?
Well, if it's your first book, does that mean first person? People often write their first book about themselves and from the I perspective. Of course, you're likely to write best about what you know, to be most convincing. But bear in mind that if you do that, there might be a lot of stuff you can't include. And your readers may want to know about other things that you don't see.
Anything to avoid?
Well, it's very dull if you set everything in the same place, of course, or always have them wearing the same clothes. Their choice of clothes can tell you about a character's personality. And an important aspect of writing fiction is the use of symbols, for example, the weather representing how people are feeling. But resist the urge to spell everything out. The sky was grey, fine. Not the sky was grey and John felt as grey inside as the sky was, etc.
That sounds like good advice. Thanks, Greg.
That is the end of task 3, and of the listening part of the exam.